Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast.
Well, at 10:29, I received a text. Service beginning. Are you okay? I don't know how to answer that. I'm afraid to ask what that means. I had turned my cell phone off and was sitting out front. Here, having plenty of time for the 11 o'clock service. Someday, if I get to be president, which I not planning on, but if it would happen, I'd make a rule. All churches start at the same time. You'd be surprised at the variations of starting, but I'm glad we made it. And I think my son came in with me. Oh, there he is. With me. Yeah. He's the one that noticed it, and we drove up. He said, that sign says the service started at 10:30. I said, what? That can't be. That's a mistake. And but anyway, we made it. Okay. Sermon ideas are not easily to come by. Even after 60 years of doing it, I still have difficulty. If you are serving as a pastor, it's a little easier because you're aware of some of the needs of the congregation and some things they've expressed. But in my situation where I'm just here once or twice a year, and I really don't know too much about what's going on. And it's especially hard if it's the last Sunday of the year. Wow. What do you say? Well, I've divided the sermon topics into different ideas. You could always preach a doctrinal sermon, I suppose. Maybe something about the security of the believer or something about Lord's Supper. That's a possibility. Didn't sound too exciting to me. Another aspect, he could deliver a theological sermon. You could talk about Genesis 1, which is loaded with theology. That just didn't seem to be right for me today. Or you could always talk about missions because we're in the midst, most of our churches, in the midst of our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. So you could talk about missions. But none of those seem to say what I wanted to say today. So I've made a new division. I call it the practical sermon. And that's what this is going to be. It'll be practical for me. And I hope for you. I've chosen to read a passage of scripture in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. We are quite familiar with those three missionary journeys that Paul made, and he's coming to the close of the last journey. And we begin reading in verse 6 of chapter 20 of Acts. We sail from Philippi after the festival of unleavened bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Eutychus, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, kept on talking until midnight. There were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man and put his arms around him. Don't be alarmed, he said. He's alive. Then he went upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. We are a people, for the most part, a people who practice certain routines. Some things we do the same every day. For instance, when we get into our car, most of us have a routine we follow. We put our foot on the brake, we turn on the ignition, we look to the right mirror, and then we look to the left mirror, and then we look in the rearview mirror. Now, the only exception to that is when you turn 80, you don't have to do any of that. I speak from personal experience. You just get in, by George, back up. Here I come. But that's my new practice. I'm doing better on that. And ladies, I don't mean to offend you, but I probably will. But I never mind that if I intend to do it. It always hurts me if I offend someone accidentally. It really, really bothers me. But if I really want to offend you and get, I enjoy it. You know, if I'm going to do it, do it. I've noticed ladies who get in the car have their own routine. They check the rearview mirror, and then they straighten up their hair. Every time. I've been watching this for several weeks now. And that's one of your routines, and there's nothing wrong with that. I have a routine when I shave. I shave this side first, and then this side. I caught myself doing that the other day, and I thought, that's dumb. I don't have to shave that side first. I can shave this side first. So the next morning, I shave this side first, and then, now you're thinking I skipped, I know. But I shave this side, and then I shave this side. I didn't like it. The next morning, I shaved my routine way out routine shave. Sometimes we get into a routine of trying to go to sleep. I have a routine that I follow when I'm not sleepy. I read a while and take the pillow and flatten it out. And then I turn the light out and I reach and I get in a prone position and I rest a few moments. And then when I'm almost ready to go to sleep, I reach and get the pillow by what I call the ear and I sling it across the room. Sometimes it hits the bed. Sometimes it hits the wall. Doesn't make any difference. I'm through. That's an announcement I'm making. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm ready. Stop thinking about everything. I have done my routine. Now, if you get sleepy this morning, I don't recommend you follow that routine. You might pick up a hymn book if you do and sling it. Then I'm the guy who's the object that will be hit upon. Well, I'm basing most of this on the fact that this young man in this story we read a moment ago became sleepy. And I understand that. Paul preached till midnight. And when he started, making a difference when he started. That's a long time. At midnight's time to go to sleep. And he fell out of the window. And Paul rushes, they all think he's dead, and Paul rushes out to him and discovers that he's not dead. And wait a minute, he's not dead. And so they all celebrate and take him back in. And Paul then, did you notice what he did? He just picked it up right there and preached until the dawn of the day. Well, I'll have to admit that in doing this 50 or 60 years now, I've never had anyone fall out of the pew completely asleep. However, I'd be less than honest with you if I did not say to you that almost every time I speak, I check someone's eyelids, and they seem to flicker a little bit, and they go down, and their head nods. Boy, it's so obvious up here, you know. Most of you don't see that, but it's obvious to the speaker that you're having difficulty and your head is nodding. I attended a meeting in the Kentucky Baptist Convention a few years ago, and the night before, we stayed up too late. We all got to telling tales. We stayed up too late. And so the next day during the worship service, I became a little sleepy. And the man was saying something really good, but it didn't matter because I was so sleepy. I just couldn't, I nodded and all that goes with it. And so finally he finished, and we stood to be dismissed, and I felt a tap on my shoulder. And I looked behind, there was a little lady, must have been 65 or 70 or somewhere in there. She said, young man, and I was a whole lot younger then. She said, young man, I want to thank you for a favor you have done me today. I had never seen this lady before in my life. How could I have done her a favor? What in the world is she talking about? She said, during the service, I became a little sleepy and my eyelids became heavy. And I nodded and I looked and saw that you were having the same problem. And I said, oh my, how foolish he looks. I'm not going to look that foolish. I'm going to stay awake. So I suggest to you this morning, if you have a little trouble and you're nodding, find someone who's having the same problem, and you realize how foolish sometimes we look like that. What I want to try to deal with today is there some way that we can avoid becoming a part of the, or in the ranks of Eutychus? Is there some way we can have a meaningful experience of worship from time to time as we gather here? So therefore, I'm going to try to say two things this morning, which I don't usually do. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say, and then I'm going to say it. The first thing I'm going to say to you, the worship hour at Panther Creek should begin before 10:30. It should begin before 10:30. We'll get back. The second thing I want to say is that the worship hour at Panther Creek should not end at 11:30. Should not end there. I think perhaps before we get involved in this too much, we need to define what we're talking about. Define the idea of worship. What do we mean by this? I've struggled with this. Sometimes you read, especially in Revelation, about all they're doing is standing singing in the choir. And I enjoy music as much as anybody, but I don't sing in the choir. So I think surely God has something else for me to do. Maybe it's to clean up afterwards. I don't have any idea what it is. But the whole point is we need to understand that worship is, the singing is a part of the worship experience. I'm for that. But there are other things involved as well. And I think to view the whole aspect of worship, I want it this morning for it to mean for us a line of communication with the one who made us. And that line of communication will enable us to have a better life tomorrow. That's what I mean by worship. John Dunaway was pastor of the Eaton Memorial Baptist Church here for a number of years and a good friend of mine. One day John was interviewed on television, and the people who interviewed him had given him a list of questions that he might make some sort of preparation for the interview, which is fair enough. But as the interview started, the very first question was one that was not on the list. We would say one from left field. And the question was, Brother Dunaway, you encourage people to attend worship services. Why? Why? Well, my friend John did not blink his eye. He was good at this. He simply said, I encourage people to attend worship service on Sunday morning in order that Monday morning might be a better day for them. So we have two ideas. The idea of number one is that the worship experience to be meaningful, for our worship experience at Panther Creek to be meaningful, it must begin before 10:30. Let's turn for just a moment to the worship in Solomon's day. For the most part, they worshiped in tents, and many of them worshiped on the outdoor. But Solomon had the idea that they needed a temple to worship in, and one that would provide for them a joyful experience, one that did not produce a dread that said, oh my goodness, we've got to go to temple today. No, that's not exactly what it was. The idea was of the temple was to provide an opportunity for them to want to return to that experience. And many of them walked through the Valley of Baca, and no one knows exactly where that was. The Bible describes it as dry and arid and unpleasant. But the whole idea of the temple was that even though they had to walk through this very difficult temple, this very difficult area, that they still look forward to coming back to the experience of worship at the temple. Stated simply, what I want to say is that the worship experience here on Sunday morning should begin long before we get here. For instance, what would your mood be this morning on the way to church if you and your spouse had sharp words about finances or how to rear the children. What if you had sharp words about time you drove up? What's your mood when you get in here? Your mood is not to worship. Your mood is to get even with your spouse to make sure they don't make that same mistake again. Or suppose on the way here this morning you had a teenage boy who stayed out too late last night and you're trying to discuss this with him on the way to church. And he's defending his right to stay out if he wants to. And we've all been through this. So the whole point is, what is your attitude once you get here? If you've had a conflict with a parent or with a son or with a daughter before you get here, that's the whole idea. Stated simply, worship should be that which will enhance our way of life tomorrow. Or suppose we're on our way out this morning, we backed out of the garage and we backed out over a brand new bicycle. Just tore it all to pieces. How do we feel when we get here? We're not concerned about the worship experience. We're concerned about we're going to have to buy a new bicycle. Now, what I'm trying to get myself to realize is that worship is not a time to bear all your grievances to God. He must get awfully tired of our complaining about how we want things to be. Instead of this, worship should be a recognition of who He is and how that recognition affects who we are. That's what I came to say today. Worship should be that which causes us to have a proper relationship with the one who made us and in turn enables us to be what we should have been. So the worship experience here on Sunday morning should begin long before we gather here in these pews. It should have started sometime last week. Nothing wrong with that. The second thing I want to say is that worship does not end at 11:30 here. I like that little sign you see in attorneys' offices and in the doctor's offices. You know, it says, physician practicing here. Huh? We make jokes about this. We said, we don't want him to practice on me. We want him to do something for me. But we understand that what that sign means, it means that the physician has studied all the possibilities that's wrong with us and says, in light of what I know, I'm going to help you. I am going to practice. I'm going to practice my skill with you. So worship should be an opportunity to have an experience with God that will change our lives. I just thought of something. Why don't we put in our yards a sign that says, practicing Christians? To let all the world know that lives in this house people who are doing the very best they can to follow the dictates of Jesus of Nazareth. But the problem with all this is that we sometimes fail to allow that which we believe to become a part of our experience. We fail to incorporate it into our way of life. My son was about 3 years old. He decided he wanted a little red car, one of the little plastic jobs. That you could pedal, you know. So being a good father, I thought, well, why not? Well, at the place we lived at that particular time, the Sears Roebuck, you couldn't go down to Sears. You can't go to Sears. Well, you can't go to Sears here more here, come to think of it. But anyway, I had to order it. It never dawned on me that little red car would come in 1,000 pieces. And so on the way home, I thought, I can't take this car home because he's going to want to ride that car, and he's not going to understand. He can't ride that car till I get it together. So I stopped at a friend's house, whom I knew was on vacation, had a big porch, so I just spread her out on that porch. 4 or 5 hours later, I was still working, trying to get that car together. And I made a mistake. I was almost done, and I knew that the pedal, that there had to be somehow or another to get that power to those back wheels. I knew that. I'm not a dummy. I knew that. But I f- fail to put the rod in, running from the front pedal to the back wheel. I looked over here, where's that go? I thought, oh my. And then I discovered that I'd already put those little silver hubcaps on, tapped them on. Buddy, once you tap them on, you better be ready because they're not coming off. Took me forever to get them off. And I finally got them all together. Now, I could have avoided all that. You know what? I could have avoided all that by simply reading the instructions and following them. One of our basic problems in our church life is that we have the instructions. The instructions are here, and we come Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and read those instructions, but somehow or another we fail to implement those instructions into our life. Well, it's the time for Christmas cards, and I received a tremendous Christmas card, one of the best I've ever received this week. It's from a young man in Central City. He's probably 40 years of age now. The day I retired, he called me. The week I retired, he called me and said, I need to see you before you leave town. Sure. So he came in and we sat and talked. He said, I've been offered a new job. I said, hey, great, you deserve it. You hard worker, you deserve a new job, better job. He said, well, there's a problem with it. Well, what's the point? What? He said, it's in Owensboro. I don't want to move. I love my house. I love the church. I love the community. I said, don't move. Drive back and forth. A lot of people do this all the time. He said, no, you don't understand. Then he told me something I did not know. I'm an alcoholic. Well, that set me back a little bit. And I said, I was not aware of this. You know, few people are. And I realized that if I go to Owensboro to work and I get off at 5 o'clock, I've got to pass all those bars. I'll never make it. I'll be drunk before I get to Central City. What can I possibly do? Wow, there was a silence there. And so finally I said, I have only one question. Can you tell me three things that you value above everything else? Three things that you value above everything else. And he said, yes, my wife, my three daughters, and my church. I said, how much do those three things mean to you? He said, they mean everything to me. Then, why can't you face up to the reality that you're going to lose all three of those people, those things, if you do not behave and get off this alcohol kick? He didn't answer me. I don't know. He didn't say a word. He just got up and left. I thought, well, I guess that's over, since I was leaving the next day or two. I've seen him a few times since then. Very few conversation, very light conversation. But the Christmas card that came this week was one of the best I've ever received. It said, in essence, it said, enjoying my new job, passing all the bars on the way home, never stopping, keeping my wife and my family and my church where they belong, first place in my life. I have a feeling that I'll keep that card. Well, you know, sometimes we look into the future and say, what can that be? What can it be? And maybe this time next year we look back and say, oh, I didn't realize how good it was going to be, how many opportunities I was going to have to be what God wants me to be, not asleep in the worship services.
Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.